This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 1499. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all shortwave. On this edition, recorded February 11th. Background to Darwin closing, Chinese New Year in numbers. News about people in Cuba and Oklahoma, jamming leads to new clandestines, frequency hopping. How to contact Republica, future plans from Ecuador, Somalia, Sri Lanka, IBB. Transmitter problems at Goa, Solomon Islands, Turkey, and Zambia, and the propagation outlook. Standard disclaimer for some news of World of Radio schedule changes. The first airing lately, although not necessarily, depending on when I actually finish program production, has been Thursday evening in North America, or UT Friday at 0200 on WRMI 9955. But now that has been moved 1 hour earlier. So look for us UT Fridays at 0100 on 9955, which happens to be the time we were previously heard via WBCQ Area 51. Last week I misspoke about our time Saturday mornings in Europe via IRRS 0900 UT on 9510. It's supposed to be the second and fourth Saturdays of each month, and if there is one on the fifth Saturday, although always subject to change. We are supposed to appear every Saturday evening at 1900 UT on 6170. And a reminder of WWCR's new frequency, 4775, UT Sundays at 0330 for our Saturday evening broadcast in North America. Here's some more about the close down at the end of January of the Cox Peninsula shortwave site in Australia, commonly referred to as Darwin. We've had a reply from Andrew Flynn, head of CVC in the UK. He says, Darwin is now closed. This was as of February 4th, when we were wondering if a few transmissions were remaining. I asked him whose decision was it to dismantle the facility rather than repurpose it. One would have thought Radio Australia would be glad to have it back for its own full use. Since CVC was leasing it, whose property is it now, whether it's on the air or not? He replied, CVC's lease expires at the end of June, so we have to vacate the site by then. You'd have to ask Radio Australia directly about their intentions. Then I asked, are some of the transmitters and antennas destined for other sites? Andrew Flynn replies, CVC is the owner of all the technical equipment on site, so yes, that is variously being sold, redeployed, or scrapped. Another version appeared in the Media Network blog from Mike Bird in Australia. He says CVC leased the transmission equipment since 1999 after the then Howard government in Australia closed the site in 1997 after deciding to drop shortwave broadcasting to Asia. The original lease to use the site included a get-out clause after 10 years. The land the transmitter complex is built on has since been claimed by a local Aboriginal community in the Northern Territory. In the past few days, technicians have started decommissioning the equipment and lowering the antennas. This has meant Radio Australia had to find alternative relays to service Asia. VT in the UK have found two sites, namely Palau and United Arab Emirates. And discussions are taking place with the Singapore government about possibly using the Kranji relay facility for Radio Australia. From California, Ron Howard has these comments about the Chinese New Year and Expo 2010 in Shanghai. February 14th is the Chinese New Year, the Year of the Tiger, an opportunity to hear and identify numerous Chinese stations which will be carrying a relay of the CNR1 programming of New Year festivities. Last year, I was able to catch PBS, Hulunbuir, China Yi Broadcasting, and Voice of Strait all in parallel with CNR1 programming. That's the main national network from 1320 to 1440 UT. The New Year's program consists of live coverage of a variety show, a wide range of entertainment, long comedy segments, traditional Chinese music and singing, sounds of the audience applauding and laughing, etc. I imagine this year will result in the same massive coverage. Because so many frequencies will be parallel, it would be fairly easy to identify them. Be aware that this same New Year's programming via CNR1 will also be used for jamming of such stations as Sound of Hope. It's very helpful to check with the Aoki frequency list to determine if one is hearing a real CNR1 broadcast or just one used for jamming. Note that the special coverage will be on their New Year's Eve, which by universal time is February 13th, from before 1320 to after 1440. Some other Asian countries also observe the lunar calendar, so it might be worth checking frequencies from other countries for special programming, not including Japan, as Seichi Hasegawa points out. Just about everyone who has received a QSL or communicated with Radio Havana Cuba by mail has heard from Lourdes Lopez. She's been in charge of the correspondence section there for 40 years, but she has just retired, according to news via Yimber Gaviria in Colombia. She's issued a statement saying goodbye and how much she's enjoyed her work in the past, and introducing her successor, whose name is Rosario Lafita Fernandez, chief of the International Correspondence Department. For some weeks now, we've been hearing Cuban-style grinding jamming during the daytime on 11600. I've been calling it jamming against nothing because I can't hear any station underneath, and nothing that we know of has been scheduled. But now I have an unconfirmed report that Radio Republica is running a low-power transmitter from California toward Cuba during the daytime, so I suspect that is the explanation. But I wonder if anyone can detect Radio Republica starting at 16 UT on 11600. Possibly closer to the site in California or closer to Cuba in the skip zone of the jamming. It might be possible. Another strange frequency, which on only one occasion so far I heard with Cuban jamming, was 15080 around 15 UT. That frequency is intentionally used only by Radio Cairo in Arabic. Can't imagine Cuba intentionally jamming that, so perhaps another little transmitter from Radio Republica or some other counter-revolutionary broadcaster appeared at some time on that frequency, 15080. Of course, the main transmission of Radio Republica is from 23 until 04 UT on 9810 via regular high-power transmitter, which DX Mix News Bulgaria says is Rampisham, UK, aimed back across the Atlantic to Cuba. In our location, we can sometimes hear a bit of it around Sinon at 2300, but it loses out to jamming. We hope the situation is different in Cuba. Apparently it is different in Asia, where Joe Jacob in South India says he gets it on occasion without the jamming, but only when propagation is good, and he was wondering how he could contact them for QSL. The Radio Republica website is no help at all. It apparently has not been updated. Instead, I told him you need to check the website of their parent organization, which is www.directorio.org. They also, if you click on the right place, have an English language version. And that leads to an email address, which got him a reply from Maria A. Lima, special assistant to the program coordinator of the Directorio Democrático Cubano. Her email address is marialima@directorio.org, or just try info@directorio.org. It seems it's not over yet for HCJV in Ecuador. Not only do they have their transmitter on 6050, but this report from Dr. Hans-Jürg Biener in German, summarized for us by Kai Ludwig. HCJB plans a new shortwave station. One of the 100 kilowatt transmitters and some lower powered 30 and 10 kilowatt transmitters and other material are left from the PFO site, which has been closed down and dismantled by HCJB Global. This equipment, in particular the 100-kilowatt transmitter, has been donated to Bosandes Media. It is planned to set it up in Ecuador again for broadcasts in German and Portuguese in a joint effort with HCJB Brazil. They hope to be able to keep the transmissions from Chile on air until the new facility is ready. In DX India, Joe's Jacob reports that the medium wave and shortwave transmissions from All India Radio in Panaji, Goa, are not fully operational. In fact, they are operating on low power only, the medium wave being 828 kilohertz, where they move to avoid interference from the Voice of America on 1539. Despite the civil servant strike in Greece's deepening crisis, the Voice of Greece seems to be operating as normally as usual, which means it is somewhat unpredictable and unreliable, but maybe no more so than usual. For example, they changed from 15650 to 15630 around 1545 UT on February 10th. Not so predictable is the Radiophilia service in the local mornings. They've been changing frequencies and the language setup. Wolfgang Büschel in Germany says that instead of 12105, they've been on 11645, which usually is the summer frequency, heard in German at 0900. So probably also with English at 0600, partly from the BBC World Service. We've now heard from DXer Jim Solaci in Finland, who has been away in China, with a couple of audio clips of his reception of Commando Solo, the airborne U.S.-sponsored broadcast over Haiti on 1030 kilohertz. And yes, we hear the ID for La Voix de l'Amérique in Creole, the same as we've been hearing on the VOA shortwave frequencies. He was hearing it between 2230 and 2300 UT. I think it was January 19th. We still don't yet know for sure whether they keep 1030 going all the way to the end of the Creole transmission at 0300. In BCDX Top News, Wolfgang Büschel in Germany thinks that CVC may have replaced one of its Darwin transmissions on 17820 in Indonesian with Tashkent, Uzbekistan. The Indonesian from Darwin had been for 6 hours starting at 0400, but now it's only 3 hours starting at 07 UT. As of February 4th, he says the signal was fairly strong, but a terrible feed line, not very stable, with many breaks in between. A bad internet phone line quality feed. He says the program content was dull for a religious programmer, a program of pop music only. We do know that CVC is using Tashkent for some of its other services to Asia. In a VT communications schedule, DX Mix News in Bulgaria includes one unidentified entry. Can anyone monitor this and tell us what the source of the programming is? 19 to 20 UT on 9515, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday only. It's via Skelton UK in the Farsi language. And here's another mystery I monitored. There was North Korean-style oscillating whoop-whoop jamming plus pulsing until 1402 UT on 7480, which implies there's a North Korean clandestine until that hour on the same frequency, but none are currently listed. Imber Gaviria in Colombia forwards a notice from the Mexican equivalent of the FCC, COFETEL, about authorization of several new TV and radio stations, but of particular interest to us is that permission has been granted to Productora y Difusora Universitaria at the Anahuac University for a station on the X-band 1670 kilohertz. I believe this is in or near Mexico City. Ron Howard, California, reports Myanmar Radio from the new capital of Myanmar on 5985.0 February 8th. in English from 1530 until sign-off at 1600. Unfortunately, there was interference until the last 3 minutes, but they were broadcasting slogans such as, "Only with stability and peace will the nation develop and the democratization process be successful." The media magazine you monitor with your mind, World of Radio, number 1499. Consult our website for much more info, especially our archive of DX Listening Digests via worldofradio.org. Our thanks this week for financial support from Mark McNulty in Massachusetts via PayPal to WORADIO@yahoo.com. Or you may send a check in the mail to P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK, 73702, USA. Chris Greenway has visited Kenya once again and found out about a new targeted broadcast coming up for Somalia. Its headquarters are in Nairobi, which he actually visited. It's called Radio Bar Kulan, which means meeting place. It's aided by the UN to operate in support of the UN and African Union mission in Somalia, known as AMISOM. It is independent, but run by the same management that set up Radio Okapi for the DR Congo, which I believe would be the Hirondelle Foundation. It's planned to launch in March with an initial schedule of daily at 05 to 06 and 16 to 17 UT, hoping to expand later. It'll be on satellite internet streaming and via FM relays in Somalia, as well as shortwave, but frequencies as yet unknown. Arranged by VT Communications, but not necessarily from VT sites. We hope to have more news on this as the date approaches. Imber Gaviria, Colombia, forwards news from TWR Asia that they've resumed, or rather renewed, cooperation with the Sri Lanka Broadcasting Corporation. Transworld Radio signed a new contract with SLBC to continue broadcasting from the site in Puttalam to South Asia. They say they use 24 languages via that station. After months of negotiations, the new contract was signed to take effect on February 1st for the next 3 years, with an option to extend it for another 2 years. What's the frequency? Never mentioned here, but we know it's medium wave 882 kilohertz. The same transmitter, however, shifts to 873 kilohertz when it's used part of the time for SLBC's own programming. We reported recently that Solomon Islands, for financial reasons, cut back the overnight relay of BBC World Service on 5020. But now it's off the air altogether. Via Wolfgang Büschel, this from Patrick Robich in Austria on the ADX group, who in turn heard from Min Sun, a volunteer at SIBC, on February 9th. "I can confirm that you heard us on 5020. Unfortunately, our transmitter blew up the frequency driver circuit and one of the valves, so it is off air at the moment. We are working on restoring services as soon as possible." Possibly something to do with the Chinese New Year. We've not heard so much Firedrake All Music jamming lately, although we still hear a bit of it in the mornings here on 8400. Jorge Freitas in Brazil was hearing a station on 7545 in Chinese, February 4th at 2206, until it went off around 2230. That was identified by S. Hasegawa in Japan as Sound of Hope. Actually, SOH, not Chinese jamming at the moment. But they hop around to many different frequencies. That's one way to try to avoid jamming and to confuse listeners. Besides that frequency, monitoring on February 4th by Hiroshi in Japan, found them between 12:30 and midnight UT on these frequencies: 7510, 7485, 7515, 7545, 7520, and 7500. Some of them escape jamming for part of the time or altogether. Here are some reports about a station we've not had anything about for quite some time. It's the Chinese number station from Taiwan, formerly known as New Star and now known, correctly translated, as Star Star Broadcasting Station, or Xingxing Guangbo Jiantai, monitored by Hiroshi in Japan via S. Hasegawa. The question came up because Keith Perron in Taiwan had been hearing one of their transmissions, perhaps even by ground wave, between 06 and 6:30 UT on 11430. The monitored schedule by the Japanese DXers includes that. And here are the rest of the transmissions. Each of these has a number after the ID. Number one is at 2 to 2:30 and 3 to 3:30 on 9548. Number two at 4 to 4:30 UT on 9570. Number four at 5 to 5:30 and 6 to 6:30 on 11430. The same frequencies again at 12 to 12:30 and 13 to 13:30. And back to number three, it's at 07 to 7:30 and 8 to 8:30 UT on 10522 kilohertz. And 11430 appears to be a change, a new frequency replacing 13750. We've noticed Voice of Turkey continuing to waste megawatts for its two frequencies on the 1330 UT English transmission, noted several dates recently. 12035 is in the clear but is barely modulated, while the other frequency, 15300, is modulated okay, but it collides with Radio France International. If they can't do anything else, they really ought to swap the frequencies, so the one that's modulating will be on the clear frequency. That's not the only problem from the Emirlir site of TRT, says Wolfgang Büschel of BCDX. The Turkish language frequency 15350 between 07 and 14 UT, he says, keeps putting out lots of spurs on the 19-meter band. In fact, he says it's the worst transmitter there. From 15332 to 15371, also 15285 to 15295, 15405 to 15416. I'm rounding off the frequencies. He's measured to two decimal places. Strangely enough, here in Central North America, I've not heard this problem, but then the frequency is about to close when I start monitoring at 1400. The situation appears to be much worse in Europe. Last week we had a report that the first week of February would be the final week for BBC's special Creole service called Connexion Haiti. But it wasn't. The service continued when I checked on February 8th at 12:37 UT, except it hadn't started 5 minutes earlier as it was supposed to, and instead there was an apology loop in French, not Creole, referring to BBC Afrique. How did that get in there? However, 1 minute later, they actually started Connexion Haiti at 12:38. Since it's only 20 minutes long, it should have finished just in time before the end of the transmission via WHRI 9410 and Guiana French on 11860. But how much longer from now, we wonder, will it be continuing? Kim Andrew-Elliott.com comments with his headline, "Through the Hole in the Firewall, President Obama nominates Richard M. Lobo to be director of the International Broadcasting Bureau." He's currently serving as chairman of Florida Public Broadcasting and previously has managed big NBC stations in Miami, New York, Chicago, and Cleveland, and was director of the Office of Cuba Broadcasting, 1994 to 1995. Of course, still awaiting confirmation by the Senate. Kim disapproves of the way U.S. international broadcasting is organized and says, in theory, the president, if displeased by VOA content, could, through the IBB director, constrain services vital to VOA, since it is the president who appoints the director. However, given Mr. Lobo's background in broadcasting, his instincts will likely be more journalistic than political. But his nomination is a reminder that USIB is badly in need of reform. Since last week, I've done a lot more monitoring of what VOA is doing with its Creole service at expanded hours, and also the new co-production with Radio Marti a Fondo at 01-02 UT. As of February 9th or 10th, there hadn't been much changed of a significant nature, but you can read all the details in the latest issue of DX Listening Digest, number 10-06, via worldofradio.org. Nobody's talking about exactly why WWCR had to suddenly move off 5070 to 4775. Usually when this happens, it's because of an interference complaint by some utility or government user of the frequency in question. And it's unclear whether WWCR will remain using 5070 at all, although they have continued to do so between 23 and 03 UT. Alan Pennington in England was monitoring on February 8th and heard them again using 4775 until midnight 3 UT and then back to 5070, which is officially scheduled between 03 and 12 UT. Jeff White at WRMI tells us, still working on repairing the Northwest antenna. That is the one with a much better signal across North America. The consulting engineer was coming back on February 15th for further work on it. We're sad to hear of the sudden, unexpected death of a well-known DXer and author and fellow Oklahoman, John Bryant. Details are sketchy, but it was caused by a fall from a ladder. We wonder whether he was doing antenna work at the time, but whether he was or not, let that serve as a warning to all of us to be very careful. John Bryant brought a great deal of enthusiasm and technical expertise, especially to medium wave DXing, his latest craze being the ultralight movement. A number of years ago, he wrote a profusely illustrated book about the Zenith transoceanic receiver. He was involved in Fine-Tuning Proceedings, a publication meeting academic standards about the DXing hobby. John Bryant in Stillwater, Oklahoma. He was also a professor of architecture at OSU. He had been spending part of the year and was about to move permanently to his dream home on Orcas Island in Washington State. A somewhat better DX location than the middle of Oklahoma. Zambia, the shortwave transmitters of ZNBC have broken down, both for radios 1 and 2, according to a story without much detail in the Lusaka Times, February 10th, via Zacharias Liangas. Andy Sennett says they normally operate on 5915 and 6165. The sun is getting more active, but some blackouts were expected. The propagation outlook from Boulder issued February 9th. ANKNC is peaking at 13 and 3 on the 12th, mostly 5 and 2 for the rest of the month. Solar flux reached 92 on February 10th, but expected to drop steadily down to 75 the 24th to 27th, before rising to 85 by March 1st. Glenn Hauser concluding World of Radio 1499.